Welcome to Home Space and Reason, a podcast about creating a home that thrives.
Hi there, I'm Christina Browning, your host. If you know your home could be so much more than it is, I discuss home functionality, aesthetics, and automation. I'm a realtor in Portland, Oregon, and a home functionality coach nationwide. I geek out on every subject imaginable regarding your home and yard, challenging you to think of your space differently to get the most out of every square foot. I pose questions for you to think through about your space and your reason. This podcast is all positive, offering you virtual fist bumps and celebrating every win. Remember, there's no such thing as perfect, but you can still aim for your best every day. If you'd like to connect on social, find the handle Space and Reason. In this episode, let's discuss automation. There's a term that I've been hearing a lot lately, and it's mental load. Mental load is the invisible labor involved in managing a household and family beyond simply the physical chores like cleaning and cooking. Also sometimes referred to as cognitive labor, the mental load is not the physical tasks, but rather the overseeing of those tasks. It's being the one in charge of having the never-ending list of to-do items constantly running in your head, remembering what needs to get done and when, delegating all the tasks to respective family members, and making sure they actually get done. One study published in the American Sociological Review describes it as the responsibility of anticipating needs, identifying options for filling them, making decisions, and monitoring progress. In addition to sapping time and energy, this type of household labor is typically taken for granted. In other words, you don't even get acknowledged for doing this work. Mental load can significantly impact people's health and well-being if left unmanaged. It can lead to stress, anxiety, burnout, sleep deprivation, and even physical health problems. It can also strain relationships, as the person carrying most of the mental load in a relationship may feel resentful or unsupported. One of the ways you can help reduce mental load is by automating as much as you can. Let's chew on a few thoughts together, shall we? Idea one, set up things on an automatic subscription like laundry detergent, toilet paper, dishwashing detergent. These are all things we always need. And it's important to me that they're sourced from an environmentally conscious company. I set the laundry and dishwashing soap up on subscription from a company called Drops, D-R-O-P-P-S. So I quite literally never have to have these items on my radar. They're never on my list. It's seamless. If you want more details, reference the episode notes. Thought two, having a forever list of what we currently have in the pantry and the fridge is exhausting. That scrolling list, how much do we have for milk for tomorrow morning for breakfast? How much do we have for mayonnaise, for maybe sandwiches for the week? Always living in the top of your mind is the list of how much we have of all the things. It's another level of craziness. I'm a fan of using a list app with your smart home system. So when anyone in the family uses an item and it's getting low, they can add it to the list by using their voice. Humans are lazy by nature. If something is too hard, we simply don't do it or avoid it. Yes, it takes some effort to set up the app and connect it with your smart home system, but when it's done, it helps you forever. Then you would post a visual reminder in your kitchen, near the pantry or the fridge, for like a week or two to help everyone get into the habit and then reinforce the habit by refraining from buying anything that is not on that list, even if you know you need it. It's a training period of sorts. But when your kid discovers there is no cocoa because he didn't add it to the list, and there will be no special trips to the store, you best believe he's going to remember to add it next time, because it doesn't just magically appear in the pantry anymore. This sets you up for future success. Less thought, less tracking of all the things. I love the app AnyList. It works great with Amazon's smart home system, more commonly known as Alexa. But recently, I ran into a compatibility issue when I was on a home functionality coaching session with a client who had a Google smart home system. We realized that Google had stopped supporting apps in June of 2023 that weren't created by them. So the jury is still out on a recommendation for a good Google Home List app. If any of you have one that's working fantastically, please let me know and I'll update this episode. Thought three, smart plugs are wonderful. Here's how they can make your life easier. When I had a feng shui consultant look at my home, she suggested running water in one particular area, and we put a fountain there for lovely trickles of water. But this is on a smart plug so that it comes on at 8 a.m. every day, and it also cues my son that it's time to get his shoes on to leave for school. When the fountain comes on, then it's time to leave. We have some plant lights on smart plugs, so they come on daily to augment the sun when it's the darkest time of year, and I don't have to remember to turn them on. Thought number four. Routines within your smart home system are wonderful for getting the ambiance right and making every day feel easier and more relaxing. 10 minutes before we wake up, the smart lights downstairs come on in a dimmed, warm tone, and we have piano music set to come on at the same time. Two things I don't have to remember to do every day. This sets the expectation that our morning will be pleasant and we can ease into our day in the most non-abrasive way possible. Routines are also great for reminding kids to do something every day. I have a reminder for myself to water the plants every Sunday. She comes on and literally says, "This is a reminder, water the plants." One more thing I don't have to think about because I can rest assured it will remind me. Thought five, maybe you should get some kind of floor sweeping, mopping robot so that it vacuums automatically and gets the majority of the stuff up off the floor, especially where you eat and prepare food. If your robot gets caught on a rug, can you rethink what rug you have there? Buy something a little thicker with a bit more foam under it so it can't get pushed around. I have one. The robot just vacuums. It's thick enough it doesn't get sucked up into it. It easily ramps up onto the rug and then vacuums it. I also have one that gets caught all the time, so I have to remember to roll it up, shake it out on those days that the vacuum is running. That's on my list of mental load. Could I change out that rug? I sure could. That would be one less thing I have to remember. Thought six, if your family includes a cat, cleaning litter boxes is one of those reoccurring tasks that's never fun to deal with, but the litter robot is a self-cleaning litter box that automatically sifts through the litter so you never have to scoop again. It's also designed to trap odors. This is one of those types of products that I expect to see more of in the coming years. There are many automatic dog feeders on the market now also. One of those items that cuts down on the amount that you have to think about every single day. Thought seven, eating, there are so many opportunities for disaster with feeding ourselves because we have to think about it every day, multiple times a day. I like to approach it like a project manager would, handling a complex project. Create a recipe binder for meals that you enjoy, simply so you don't have to remember what you liked, what resonated with your family. You don't have to pull from this binder when you feel inspired, but it sure is nice when you're drawing a blank. Yeah, I have no idea what to do for food this week. Grab the binder. It's a little tool, a little crutch that will make your life easier. This is one of those tasks that's front-loaded. It takes time to make it up front, but every day in your future is less hard. We all have to eat every single day. Making a delicious and healthy something can be even more challenging because pushing the easy button to have something delivered can be both costly and unhealthy in the long run. This binder can be filled with clear plastic pages for whatever you want to fill it with, from ripped out magazine recipes to your mom's recipes and her handwriting. The plastic pages allow them to all be in the mix, and then you can wipe them down before returning them to the book. I went over my process in depth in episode 3, but I wanted to mention it here because thinking about what we are eating this week or today, adding everything to the list with my voice all at once, grocery shopping, and then unloading it into the pantry and fridge with a written track record of what all that food is for, seriously means that I don't have to think about it again for 7 whole days. This is an automation of sorts that is a habit. It's you setting yourself up to not have to think about what recipe, do we have the ingredients? It's all written down. Pick whatever fresh item might spoil first or whatever you're in the mood for. You don't literally have to go day by day in how you originally purchased it. You can have 7 things for the week and you pick one of those 7. It allows others to handle the meals or at least help when everyone knows what the plan is and that you already have all that they need to make it present. Your partner can support you more. Your kids can pitch in. Some families divide the responsibility in half. One person plans and shops, the other cooks. Whatever your division of labor looks like, and hopefully there is some division, this recipe binder and adding a week's worth of ingredients to the list with your voice is about as turnkey as it gets for having a process. Thought 8 is something I have never personally put my hands on, but I would love to. The Skylight Calendar is a Wi-Fi connected digital display that showcases your family's schedule with a touch screen combined with a mobile app, and it helps your family to have a plan and manage events across different views and features. It includes a chore chart, color coding, which makes it simple for everyone to see who needs to be where and when. This is especially important if you've got many children going to different sports and practices. It can also handle custom lists, streamline and manage tasks, to-dos, groceries, all of those things, and it can display menus you create. It also handles weather, which is helpful for forecasting the exact time and location of your events. And that's important when deciding what to put on as you walk out the door, raincoat or no raincoat. It also has share access, allowing your spouse, co-parenting partner, kids, and close friends to access your calendar. I've not personally taken this for a spin, although I would love to. I'm all about how much mental load this could take off your plate with having access to one place where all the plans live. It would empower others in your family to create and add plans so it's not just always spinning in your brain alone. Now let's talk about that whole smart home concept. I suggest going into your smart home app and finding one new automation that would benefit your family each quarter or each year. Slow, right? When it comes to learning about and implementing a new solution using your smart home system, it's important to step it like one at a time. Put it on your calendar, so this isn't another thing you have to remember. But James Clear, author of Atomic Habits, tells us that research has shown you are 2 to 3 times more likely to stick with your habits if you've made a specific plan for when, where, and how you will perform the behavior. He goes on to say that psychologists call these specific plans implementation intentions because they state when, where, and how you intend to implement a particular behavior. This finding is well proven and has been repeated in hundreds of studies across a broad range of areas. For example, implementation intentions have been found to increase the odds that people will start exercising, begin recycling, stick with studying, and even stop smoking. However, and this is crucial to understand, follow-up research has discovered implementation intentions only work when you focus on one thing at a time. In fact, researchers found that people who tried to accomplish multiple goals were less committed and less likely to succeed than those who focused on a single goal. So this is why I'm suggesting that you find one thing your smart home can do for you and implement it one thing at a time. If it's something like the List app that requires you to add something to be effective, add ketchup to the list. You should only be adding these new features one at a time so you'll follow through and everyone who lives with you has a chance to learn and adopt it. These small steps, though, will cut down on the mental load because it's eliminating the amount of things you have to remember on a daily basis. Take a giant Sharpie and write a big note for the family so there's a visual cue for them for like a week. Remember to add things to the Fred Meyer grocery list with your voice or whatever your grocery store is. Artificial intelligence is poised to become an integral component of our smart homes. Next-gen products will leverage AI to adapt to your habits, optimizing your living spaces based on your lifestyle and daily routines. Voice assistants are set to evolve through machine learning, expanding their capabilities and offering assistance similar to ChatGPT, making them even more indispensable. So if you get on board now by using your smart home system a little bit more, one step at a time, the leap to what's next will be less hard. Baby steps, right? In episode 19, I discuss emotions as it pertains to our home and charting the emotions of every room in the house and the ambiance associated with them. I have a soft spot for this particular episode because it's about the feelings rooms evoke. If you're listening to episode 19 after this episode, you might consider what kind of mental load, if any, does this room project to me? If it feels peaceful and easily stays organized, it might be one of your favorite spaces in the house, giving you comfort and a sense of control or relaxation. However, if it spurs anxiety, and much like a game show wheel starts the list of all the things you need to do spinning in your head, you may want to pause and really consider why. Is it because there are unfinished projects in this space? Is it because the space doesn't handle your life well? So there's always an accumulation of junk mail, shoes, or odds and ends. Sometimes the best gift you can give yourself is choosing one area of pain and coming up with a solution for that one tiny thing so that you aren't dealing with it ever again. It's never on your list again. Maybe the recycle bin gets relocated so it lives between your front door and the mailbox. And every time you get the mail, the junk automatically gets recycled so it doesn't even come in the house. And now for some questions to ask yourself about your home space and your reason. Question number one, what is one thing I do each day or each week that I could set up a recurring reminder for? Bonus points if it's on someone else's list. If you can automate reminding your son to mop the floor every Wednesday, that's one less thing your scrolling brain has to remember. Number two, could I set up a reoccurring manicure, meditation session, anything that I enjoy related to self-care? This is just as important, scheduling time to take a pause for your own mental health. Be specific. This week on such and such day at such and such time, I'm going to check out the new Pilates studio that just opened up. Make the call, get it on your schedule so that it happens. When your reoccurring appointment for self-care pops up again, maybe choose something different based on your current state of well-being. The point is to make time for it by scheduling it for yourself automatically. You work hard. You show up for yourself and for others. You deserve to think about what you could use. What do you need? What kind of pause would you really enjoy this week or today? Question number three, what items do I use regularly that I could set up a subscription for? A reminder that I did put some links in the episode notes for a couple of companies that I enjoy and who are environmentally friendly. Question number four. What room in my home is giving me anxiety the most, causing an escalation of my mental load when I walk into that room? And can I fix just one thing to forever remove that from my scrolling list? I was at a client's house last week on a home functionality coaching session, and she had a dresser that she loved so much. It was antique, but it was missing a pull, and it was hard to open because if you don't pull both sides evenly, the drawer doesn't slide open without sticking and fighting back. Every time she walked into that room, she said for a split second, she remembered she needed to replace that pull. Every time she needed to get something in that drawer, again, she was reminded she needed to replace that pull. What is the nagging thing you could get done similar to this, so it's gone from your list forever, and it removes that feeling of there are so many unfinished things in this room, and if I just finished them, I would feel easier in this space. I would have less things on my list. The space would function better. It would fight back less. If you have an Amazon Echo, you can say, play the Home Space and Reason podcast by Apple and easily listen on any Echo or Dot. You can also say, play Home Space and Reason from yesterday on Apple Podcasts. You can say, skip backwards 30 seconds or even play the previous episode. If you happen to know someone in the market to buy or sell in the greater Metro Portland, Oregon area, kindly send them my way. The finest compliment I can receive is the confidence of your referral. If you enjoyed this show, kindly write a review because it lets others know that this is a podcast worth listening to. Thanks for sitting in on this conversation about creating a home that thrives. I'll meet you back here for the next episode.